I want to talk this morning about the backslider. Now, it doesn't sound like a very inspirational thought to say you're going to talk about backsliding in a service. But I think if we look at it from this perspective, that the Lord wants to accomplish a couple of things in our hearts. Number one, He wants us to be warned about what can happen to any Christian, anyone. And also, He wants us to be concerned about those. And that's the whole emphasis of these next few weeks, to get concerned about people who aren't following the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. Maybe they once did, but today they're not serving the Lord. And for whatever reason, it's not a good enough reason for them to stay away from God and stay away from the house of God. They need the Lord. We're going to read some verses in Jeremiah chapter 14. The first six verses of that chapter describe famine and the type of circumstance that happens to even a nation that backslides. Quite frankly, the United States of America is a backslidden nation as a whole. It is a backslidden nation that has its roots and its foundation in the Word of God and in a spiritual experience and a Christian foundation. You may have heard in the news about the mayor of New York City and the events taking place next week in a memorial 10-year anniversary of the attacks against our country there at the Trade Center in New York City, that Mayor Bloomberg has decided that there will be no religious part in that ceremony. There is no kind of clergy, no minister of any kind that's going to participate, that it's going to be a totally and a completely secular thing. But let me tell you, 10 years ago, people who never prayed were praying. People that weren't giving God the time of day, they were calling out to God. And I know that maybe not necessarily didn't affect us as much, because to us it was still hundreds of miles away from us. But to people who were in those areas, the churches, as I understand, in New York City, the churches were crammed filled for weeks and weeks after those tragic events. And it happened in different places across this country. A turning to God, a crying out to God. Tragedy has a way of doing that. But to think that in 10 years that we'll have a memorial service, and there no part of it will have any religious element at all of any kind. And the mayor of New York made that decision. And even though there are many who are appealing to him to change his mind, his latest announcement was there will be no change and no clergy involved in that memorial service. We do have a nation that is a backslidden nation, United States of America. The backslider, Jeremiah 14, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth or the famine or the drought. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass, and the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. Verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee, O hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not, thus saith the Lord, unto this people. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Ever since the beginning of creation and God initiated relationship with men, men have chosen to know God and then to turn their back on the Lord. It is more than your mind can even comprehend or understand why that people would do that. Jesus himself, even though his disciples and followers, they saw him, they touched him, they were eyewitnesses to the miracles of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, but yet sometimes when he had hard sayings, the Bible says that they would turn and walk away. He asked even some of his closest inner circle disciples, are you going to turn away from me also? And so don't take it personally if people walk away from the Lord or walk away from the church. Jesus himself had those who he walked with, and he knew them intimately, that they made a decision to turn their back on the Lord. Hard to understand, more than you can comprehend, but the Bible says that it will be one of the characteristics of the last days that we're living in the last days, that men's hearts would wax cold. Iniquity will abound, and people's hearts will become cold toward the Lord, that there will be a falling away in the last days. So it is characteristic of these times that we're living in that people are losing their connection with God, losing their heart for God, losing their interest in spiritual things. And there are backsliders who sit even in the pews of churches that are just there out of obligation. They don't really have a heart for God or the things of God. And that is such a sad and a troubling thing. Even nations, as we have described, backslide. And that was what we were reading about here in the book of Jeremiah, who spoke and prophesied to the entire nation of Israel and Judah concerning their backslidden condition that they were in. Hosea, the whole book of Hosea, really the theme of that book is the backslidings of that nation and how that God was wooing them back and drawing them to come back to him. Hosea 11 and verse 7, and my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called to them the Most High, none at all would exalt him. That they have developed this habit of withdrawing from God, turning away from the Lord. And as a nation, that's exactly what they did. Much of the writings of the prophets were warnings to people of their backslidings and what they were doing and decisions that they were making. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. God loves the backslider. God is married to the backslider. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here, that he loves you. He's vowed his love towards you. Why would you turn your back on him? Why would you do that? Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 6. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them, a leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Lots of verses that relate to the condition of a backslider. My motivation, as I've already said this morning, is to stir your heart so that, number one, you will guard your heart and protect yourself so that you will never be numbered among those who turn their back upon the Lord. And also that you would be burdened for those who have, that you would be concerned enough about them that you will pray for them and you'll reach out to them and you'll show love to them and you'll welcome them back into the fold, back into the house of God, back into the kingdom of God. That's what the church needs to be involved in. How does someone turn their back on God? That's a question that we all, I think we see it and we wonder about. I had this experience in church that I was growing up in. When you're young, you're innocent, you don't realize, you just think everybody in the church is spiritual and everybody's great and nobody has any failures or any problems. There was a man in our church. He was a young man. Of course, I was a child, so I thought he was an old guy. But now when I know of him and know his situation, I know he was a young man. And he taught our children's church. And when I, as a child, would go into his children's church, and he played an accordion. And he didn't know how to play the main keys, so he played those little keys, those little buttons. And he would chord that. But he would play that, and he would sing those songs, and we would sing the songs with him. And as a child, I felt the presence of the Lord. This is a man who had the touch of God upon his life. He was a leader in the church and served in most capacities of leadership in the church, to sing and to minister and to lead, even as a deacon in the church and as a teacher in the church. The Lord used him. But as I was just a young teenage boy, I had no idea what was happening. But this man was making a decision to drift away from God. And he drifted away from his family. And all I knew, it was happening for a process of time. But suddenly, he wasn't there anymore. Suddenly, and that's as a child, as a young person, that's what I observed. This man that I looked up to and admired so much that he just wasn't there anymore. And then over the process of time, I learned that his family was broken up and his marriage was broken up and that he had strayed away and things had begun to happen and his life was just thrown into terrible destruction. Lots of years later, when I was pastoring in that same general area, I went to see him. Now, I'm a young man, a preacher, and he's much older than me. He's living alone. He's living in a house that I would call almost like a cabin, way out in the country, all alone, pretty much just stayed to himself. His family was scattered, and he lived his life alone. I talked to him. I tried to invite him to church. I could see a hardness in his face and in his eyes. And you know, the words that he spoke, I'll try to do that. I'll try to come to church. But in my heart, I knew that he had set his will against the things of God. And I walked away from that seeing what the terrible tragedy of a great man of God who turned his back on the Lord and then suffered. And he died, as far as I know, he died without the Lord in the condition that he was in. How does this happen to someone? How does it happen that a man of God or a woman of God could backslide? How is that happening? How could it ever happen? You know, whenever you're moving in your car in a particular direction, there's no way that you can make a complete turnaround and go the other direction unless that vehicle slows way down. It has to come to almost a complete stop before there can be a wide turn and then a changing of directions, a U-turn. And that really, there's a spiritual analogy there to what can happen to a person. As a child, I saw that man. I just thought suddenly he backslid. He backslid because he was just suddenly not there. But I was too young to understand that there were things going on for weeks and months and maybe even years before he turned his back on God and on the things that were right. I didn't know what was going on, but behind the scenes, there was this inner working of his heart and his mind, and he started slowing down. He started slowing down. Before you make the U-turn, you start slowing down. You have to. You can't, an object moving at any speed in one direction is not going to be able to stay at that speed and turn around. You have to slow down. So for those of you, to safeguard yourself from ever falling into the trap and becoming a backslider, maintain your speed in your walk with the Lord. Amen. Maintain your focus. Maintain your direction. Keep going as you are and even pick up speed as you grow and gain in the knowledge of the Lord. Don't slow down. Amen. There is no place for backing up. There's no place for saying, well, you know, I'm not really needed at church, so I won't be there on Wednesday night. You're needed and you need to be here. You need to be here. You need to be in prayer meetings. You need to be in Sunday night service. Anything that provides you an opportunity to motivate you and to pick up speed and to maintain your focus in the direction of the things of God, you need to hold on to it. Amen. You need to press into the things of the Lord. For if you're going to change your direction, there will be this gradual slowing down. Gradual slowing down. You'll lose your interest in the things of God. You'll lose your interest in church. You lose your interest in prayer. You lose your interest in spiritual things. The things that used to be the expression of your heart when you were on fire for God, they no longer interest you. You move away from that. Other things catch your heart and catch your attention, and you begin to move away from the Lord. You start slowing down. And then if you're going to make a turn, there's going to have to be either, there can't hardly be an abrupt stop, but there'll be a slowing down and then just kind of a wide circular motion, a U-turn to get you turned around. It's during that process of the turning that you'll probably have someone say to you, we missed you at church. We missed you. And sorry you weren't there. Is there anything we can do? Can we pray for you? Can we help you? When you see someone that's cooling off and changing directions, as a believer, you almost feel helpless, but you have to cry out to God. Ask the Lord, Lord, let there be an awakening before they turn their direction. Somehow, Lord, work in their mind and work in their heart and help them to see that they need to get back on this straight pathway. And don't allow anything to cause them to turn around. Proverbs 14 and verse 14 gives some real insight into what happens in the life of a backslider. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. There's two things in that verse that reveal something about the backslider. First of all, it reveals the heart condition of the backslider. The heart. Your heart. There's a change of heart before it ever becomes the action. Before you ever turn away. Before you ever get involved in the depths of sin. There was this changing of your heart. Because everything, the Bible says, out of your heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does that mean? I think we all understand that that means that your heart, out of your heart, everything flows. You make the decisions that you make because of your heart condition. You do what you do because of your heart condition. You say what you say out of the abundance of your heart. And the writer here is saying that it's from your heart that flows everything of your life. It flows out from your heart. So what you are doing and how you're living and the decisions that you are making is a revelation of what is in your heart. And it just is flowing out. When people turn away from God, it starts with their spiritual heart condition. They lose heart. They get cold in their heart. They begin to lose their interest in their desire and the fervency for the things of God. They begin to lose that, and their spiritual heart condition is where it begins. Amen. The backslider in heart. But then it also reveals another thing. This verse reveals something else about the backslider. It says, he's filled with his own ways. He's self-focused. He's self-consumed. If there's anything that the enemy wants to do, he wants you to get your eyes off of giving and serving and ministry and the work of the kingdom of God. And he wants you to turn your focus on yourself. Well, nobody thought about me. No one said anything about me. No one, and everything becomes so self-focused that you see the events of what's going on around you through the glasses of selfishness and self-focus. And that's all you think about is me and my problems and my needs. And you're so self-focused that before long, whatever it might be, an offense or some problem or something will distract you from the purpose of your life. servanthood, giving to God, working for God, ministering in the kingdom of God, and suddenly you begin to be selfish. Oh, what a manifestation of a carnal lifestyle when a person is just concerned and self-focused. The Bible gives other terms that relate to the backslider, what the backslider is. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, a backslider looks back. Before he goes back, he looks back. He loses his focus and he begins to look back. He starts looking at the old life. He starts looking at the past life. He does like those Israelites did. They started looking back at Egypt, wanting what they had in Egypt, backslidden in heart. Lot's wife, who looked back, she was physically led by the hand out of Sodom. But the problem was her heart was still back there in that place. And even though she'd been warned, don't look back, she did it anyway. And we know that there was this pillar, this memorial that was there, made of salt, to Lot's wife because she turned back. And the Bible tells us that we need to remember Lot's wife. We need to see that as a memorial of a backslider, someone who starts that process by turning, letting their heart be fixed on the past and what and the old life and looking back. Luke 9 and 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So a backslider looks back. Lamentation chapter 1 and verse 8, a backslider turns back. Lamentation, verse 8 of chapter 1. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth back. A turning back. Now there is not nothing in your old life worth turning back to. Amen. There's not anything in this old world that's worth giving up your relationship with God. But I tell you, there are backsliders that populate this community. And for some reason, something caught their attention and they turned their back on the Lord. They turned their back toward the things of the Lord. Maybe like Demas. Demas, we don't know much about him other than he was a convert of the Apostle Paul. And he was from the city of Thessalonica. He traveled with Paul as a part of their ministry, missionary team, for a season of time. But then he says in one place, he says, Demas has forsaken me. Demas went back to Thessalonica and his love for the world and love for his past. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Something about the world that had his affection and had his heart made him turn back. To that, how is it possible that someone who has tasted of the things of God, has witnessed of the presence of God, enjoyed the blessing of the Lord, could turn back? It's an unbelievable thing, but people do that. People do that. So be warned today. Don't turn back. She sigheth and turneth back. I'll tell you, it breaks your heart. It is a crushing thing to a believer, especially to a pastor, to see people who have known the Lord, who have loved the Lord, who have served the Lord, and to see that they have turned their back on the Lord. I had people, whenever I started out in the ministry, preacher friends of mine, people that I knew and loved and respected, but today they're not in the house of God. Today, they're not serving the Lord. They don't know God. They've walked away from the things of God. They have turned back. Something attracted them to look back and to set their heart upon what's behind them and to turn back to those things of this world. Another Bible term for backsliding is drawing back. Drawing back. Hebrews chapter 10. And verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. These were like the disciples who went so far with the Lord. But then when he taught them a hard saying, they stopped there. They drew back. It was too much for them. There are some people that make their progress in the things of the Lord, but then they stop because it's too hard. Too much of a sacrifice. Too much of a commitment that's required. Or maybe the hand of God is upon you and calling you to some work or some ministry, and you're not willing to make that sacrifice. And so you draw back. You draw back. The Christian experience is always to be an onward, moving forward, progressing, pushing forward in the work of the kingdom of God. You need to be growing in the Lord. If you've been saved 4 months, 4 years, or 40 years, you still need to be growing and moving forward in the knowledge of the Lord. And don't draw back. Sometimes you might hear something taught or preached and you think, that's too difficult. I can't make that kind of a commitment. I can't do that. That's just what the disciples did. They turned back and Jesus said to his inner circle, are you going to go away also? It was a tough, difficult commitment that they were making to lay down their lives and to follow Jesus no matter what the cost was. But many draw back. And they draw back because they resist the cost and paying the price of moving forward in the things of the Lord. Another term is falling back. Isaiah 28 and verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward. And be broken and snared and taken. I don't know if you've ever had much of an experience of falling down, but falling down is a lot of things. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But my first trip into Romania, it was in the middle of the winter, and everywhere we went, there was snow and ice. And Brother Huff and Brother Jerry Back, I was with them, and they had been, of course, on those trips before, and they had those neat little rubber things that you put over your shoes. They were walking everywhere. They were going everywhere. We'd get off the planes and the trains, and they were, you know, 25, 30 years my senior, and they were just walking, doing great. And I was doing like this. I was walking around, and sure enough, here I hit a stairway going down. I forget where we was going, down into some place, stairway, whew, back, hit my back, hit the back of my head. And I think it was either two or three times on that 10-day trip in Romania that I fell backwards. And so they begin to you know, call me names. Sure, I forget exactly what it was. Brother Huff always has names for you. I couldn't stay on my feet. Everywhere I was going, I was falling. Humiliating, let me tell you. It's one thing to fall forward. You can catch yourself. But to fall back, oh my, it's bad. It's a bad thing. It's bad spiritually. It's bad to fall back. It's bad to slip. To slip. Sometimes people backslide because they allow themselves to get into some situation and they slip. They get their feelings hurt, or there's some offense or something that happens to them. And I've heard people say, I'm not going to go back to that church because that church has got problems, or that church has had, there's hypocrites in that church, or someone offended me there, or whatever. People, they get into situations and they slip and they fall backward and their life is damaged. Their spiritual life is affected because they fall backward. Amen. You know, you got to get up. You got to move on. You got to move forward. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you or lie to you. Amen. The backslider. I'm praying that the Lord will start burdening your heart for people. And you'll start coming in contact. You'll remember this message and other messages that we're going to be talking about in the coming services. And you're going to run into people in the community. And you're going to remember, there's one of those people. I used to go to church with them. I used to know that they were serving the Lord and walking with the Lord. There they are, not serving the Lord. And I just pray, God, give us a burden for people like this who have known the Lord. God loves the backslider. He's married to the backslider. He's made a vow commitment to them. And he's reaching for them and wants to bring them back in. And some of them who haven't been in the house of God for many, many, many years. God can give you an opportunity to reach out to them and to see them brought in to the kingdom of God. It's a horrible, horrible thing to backslide. Bears terrible consequences in your life, in your family, in your future if you backslide. Jeremiah 2 and 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. It is an evil and a bitter thing. I've seen people in that kind of a condition. Bitter, bitter. Lady years ago, I went to see her. I knew that she used to be in church, serve the Lord in the house of God. I went to see her. And when she saw who it was, I hadn't seen her in a lot of years. When she saw who it was, she would hardly open the door. She didn't have much to say. Just a few words. Okay. I knew what she was saying. She really didn't mean it when she said, okay, I might come. I might come. Bitter. Bitter. Something had happened in their life. Something had happened in their years, and for some reason they allowed themselves to get bitter and turn away from God, turn away from the things of God and the house of God. Another reason why people backslide really is because of ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. They don't even see the blessing and the privilege of what God has done for them. Jeremiah talked to Israel and Judah about this in Jeremiah 5 and 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, Jeremiah is describing a people. God has done so much for you. He's provided for you and given to you and blessed you. And now you're serving other gods. Now you've turned your direction away from the Lord. I trust that we'll take this to heart today and we will begin to pray for the backslider. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you're in that condition, you once knew the Lord, you once walked with God, you once were being used of God, but you're somewhere in the process. Maybe you're just slowing down and maybe there was an offense. Or for some reason, you're just slowing down. Let me tell you, there's nothing, no problem, no circumstance that's worth moving away from the things of God. Press in. Press in. Don't allow anything to distract you from the things of God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would cause us as a congregation to have a newfound love for the backslider, to care about people, Lord, that for whatever is going on in their life, that today they're away from you, they're away from the house of God, they've walked away from your purpose for their life. Oh, Lord, would you restore the backslider? Would you talk to them? Would you deal with them? And Lord, would you burden the church? Burden your people, Lord, for those that have strayed away from God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, there are so many. There are so many. They're out there. They're within our reach. Some of them, Lord, over the years, they rode our buses. Over the years, they have went to youth camp with our groups. Some of them have been born again, filled with the Spirit. Some of them called to the ministry, but today they've turned back. Today they've allowed something to turn them around, maybe like Demas, an affection for the world. Whatever that it is, Lord, somehow, Lord, let there be an awakening in the hearts of the backsliders Do a work in the church, oh Lord. Cause us to have a burden and a compassion for people that are in that need. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't tell you the numbers of times that I've met people in the community only for them to say to me, I used to go to that church. I've had people say, yeah, when that church was down on 4th Street, we used to go to that church. Or my grandmother went to that church. Or we rode the bus to that church. I don't mean just a few. A lot of people. A lot of people. Now, I know that some people are in other churches and other people are serving the Lord. And that's all well and good. I'm talking about those that are backslid, away from God. They don't even give God the time of day. They're not concerned about their spiritual condition. It's time for us to get concerned about them. The backsliders of Laurel County and this surrounding region. Hallelujah. 60-some thousand people now populate Laurel County. I don't know how many of them, but some of the estimates are that at least 50%, and more than likely most, at least 50% of this community isn't connected to a church. They don't go to church. And then we've got surrounding areas, surrounding communities as well, counties as well. They're all within our reach. Let's take it to heart. If you're here this morning and for some reason, whatever it might be, you've allowed your heart to start the turn. Maybe you're just in the slowdown phase. You're losing your interest in the things of God. You're starting to cool off, starting to slow down. You haven't made the turn yet, but let me tell you, you're in a bad place. You need to get a hold of God. You need to find an altar. You need to pray those things through. You need to get yourself right with God. And then begin pursuing the Lord with your whole heart once again. Otherwise, it's tragedy, destruction, bitterness. All of that is ahead for the person who turns their back on the Lord. We're going to come and pray today, but I just want to welcome you. If you are here in this service today and you know that you're just not at all in that place you need to be, I want to welcome you to come with everybody else. Let's come around this altar. And if your heart is being affected and you sense that you are truly slowing down in your walk with the Lord, you're losing your interest in spiritual things, other things have caught your affection and are robbing you of your commitment to the Lord, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of God on an altar of prayer. Come back to church tonight. Get here in the service tonight. Let's seek the Lord. Let's let God do a work in our lives. Allow Him to burden our hearts for the backsliders of our community. Let's pray. Would you come? Let's gather in here to this altar today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, let's come together around this altar if you would. Everyone is welcome. If you'd rather kneel at your seat, find a place to pray. And let's pray this morning before we leave this place. Let's call on the Lord on behalf of those that are in need. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.